part two. What's up? And this is good stuff. So we'll see if we even get into sub signature pages or anything else, right? So it's good to use your brain. So Alice has paid Bob. Bob has the transaction. She's put it in her own block, and she's even waited for it to get confirmed. So we got to prevent Charlie from being double spent. Let's look at it from Charlie's perspective and what Alice could do. So Charlie has received this transaction from Alice, and first of all, Alice can't send Charlie this transaction with a conflicting transaction in her own block that says she paid Bob with the same input, because Charlie, as a recipient, is watching her block, and so he would know, and he would know that he's being double spent, and he would just disregard that. So the scenario has to be that Alice literally put her transaction in her own block, and then eventually what she's doing is orphaning her own blockchain, right, and getting rid of that block, which includes the transaction, and building a new block. Now, there's all types of, in practice, things that make this tough. The fact that she's been establishing time throughout, if she's following the protocol and everyone sees it, like, there's going to be a gap in time, right, because she's getting rid of that block. And then here's the main thing, is Bob has this transaction, like, literally has the data, and he has put it eventually in his own blockchain. So that's where this watchtower concept comes into play. Bob needs to help Charlie not get double spent, because Bob knows that he owns the transaction. And so, like, Bitcoin is a universal blockchain, and these are your own historical individual blockchains. So how does Bob get this important information to Charlie? That's the question. So there has to be some type of flow. And so Bob and everyone else, let's say, like, the question is Bob the watchtower, or are there other people, or is it a combination of both, who basically have this conflicting transaction, which says Alice spent to Bob, and further have Alice's block because she published it, right? That would be like the miners, who have literally the block which has the transaction, which has unique hash, which is involved in mining. So there would have to be some sort of a flow which gets this information to Charlie, right? That Alice has orphaned her block to double spend him. And so what are the consequences for Alice, right? How do we prevent her from doing this? And again, practice versus theory, like, Alice, like, there's costs to making these records. You, like, I've done them. Obviously, a lot of it you could make, like, spam bots, I guess, in some form or capacity, but you need a block publishing server. You need to store the data of blocks and your content. You need the ability to store a private key securely, like if it was a bot that's just making them and they're not secure. And, like, in some senses, like, maybe there's more, you know, accounts who have a longer history are more trustworthy, or there's, like, a weight in a certain sense to these accounts, like, that they're following the protocol. But anyway, Alice needs to be penalized for trying to double spend, or even just breaking the rule of orphaning her block. Like, do we need to just is there a discrepancy between the two? She's trying to double spend by orphaning her own blockchain. So those are the two major problems, is how do you get the information to Charlie so that he doesn't think it's a valid transaction, right? And the second problem is, how do you prevent people from orphaning their blocks? Or do you just like kick them off the network? And how do we define the network, right? So it also becomes like the practicality thing. Like, how much is it gonna, like, what is the reward they're getting from performing this type of attack? So a lot of this is far out thinking, which again, like, even if it's not possible or feasible to have this actual token that's not a smart contract, that's just based on these proofs, then big deal. The whole TSN protocol is still extremely valuable. You're doing social media without it, and blah, blah, blah. As I said, you could still do a Cloudtrion type of thing without it, and you could do a smart contract. And so it all comes down to, how much can we rely on these historical records? You can certainly rely on them for content, and you know that a person who said something said it. There's no faking digital signatures, and you know that the record is true. What you don't necessarily know without tinkering and tweaking to prevent it is that there's not orphans. But you do know there's orphans, right? Because it has to be from a valid account. The question is, like, why shouldn't you, like, would people create these orphans and break the protocol rules as a non-honest actor? Like, would they do it? What is the incentive to do so? So a lot of this will come with time as you get more information, and as you try things, you perfect it. And that's just how it's been going and will continue to go. So you need to incentivize a way for Bob's knowledge of the transaction confirmed to him getting to Charlie, or having someone who knows of Bob's transaction because they're following his content and his record, which is open to the world for everyone to see. So that could be some type of watchtower thing, where if I'm doing a TSN reference that is spending a cloud transaction, that's a specific type of reference, and maybe that is like a ping to the world or to these watchtowers, like, I'm doing a cloud transaction, so you're watching that, you know, or not you're watching, you're gonna get the information to Charlie as a watchtower. Would Charlie be registered to a watchtower service, or would it be like, even what you could do is they could just be aggregating the signatures of the watchtower, could be gets pinged, and they're just aggregating the signatures of all these people trying to transact their clout, and they literally embed it in the Bitcoin blockchain, like with the, you know, anchoring accounts function type of thing. So that could be cool, and that could be they wouldn't have to do a Bitcoin transaction for every like one, right? Maybe they just aggregate them and in a document, and then take a hash of that document and put that in the Bitcoin blockchain. So there's all these clever little efficiencies of doing things. So that's why the answer is, have we resolved the double spend problem by depending on Bitcoin in the context of your own historical records token? And the answer might eventually be yes, but maybe it's no. And if it's no, big deal. You still have a valuable thing here. regardless, you want to get people using it for social media first, because it all depends on users anyway before you could do any of that type of stuff. So it's not that urgent in the priority of things to do, but I'm always thinking about the past, present, and future, right? And the big picture and the small picture and everywhere in between. So then thinking about if you can do it, just starting to flesh out how would the smart contract work. Well, the distribution is, you know, related to mining and issuance and all that, but you would would you be creating it as you're issuing it, or would you create a contract for 21 million, which is then issued out as they're mined into existence? I think it's the latter, so everyone can see there can only be 21 million in that contract. And as long as you're following the rules of this second layer, third layer protocol of doing cloud with the smart contract, you know, then the consensus is handled by the contract itself. You don't have to worry about any of that. Now, I'm sure some people are going to say, not thinking about it practically or thinking about it in the wrong way, like, well, what do you think? You're a central bank. You can just print your own money. And of course, that's not what any of this is. It's not money in any sense of the word. But the point is, you are like, can the central, like, you, this is not Bitcoin, okay? You, like, this is a way to receive value for your Patreon like thing and so on and so forth. So like, there's a lot of trust that's built into the old models too, with like PayPal and all that. And there's like, what's to stop me from just making another contract for another 21 million in 5 years? And sure, I could absolutely break the rules of that second layer protocol and do it, and it would have to be thought out well, just like with the last one. But then it's like you're destroying the trust in yourself and the value of your clout, right? So there's, what is the incentives involved? And for what reward? Like, so you gotta try and think about things a bit differently. It's, the point is not to replace Bitcoin. Quite the contrary, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with it, and that a lot of stuff is enabled by Bitcoin's existence. But it is recreating social media, and in this context, Patreon and other things like that, perhaps like a crowdfunding type of aspect. I don't know what's possible. I'd never encourage anything, but it all depends on a lot of stuff. So, you know, you got to really think differently. Like, how do you fucking know that Patreon isn't charging one person one thing and one person another thing for content? And how do you know the person isn't duping Patreon? And there's a million different ways to look at it. What's clear is everything you do is for the world to see. So you are creating this token to solve certain problems that are created by third parties, which prevent you doing older traditional transactions. You know, which prevent you from doing, or censor, or whatever it is, from doing these types of transactions. It's not trying to be Bitcoin, and it's not trying to be the money of the world and all that. So it's all context. And maybe the answer is just use Bitcoin and your Cloudtreon thing or other cryptos or whatever. Time will tell, but this aspect is kind of like came to me because I've seen all this shit over the last decade with CryptoKitties, and now you have the DeFi shit with these random things that are pumped, and like, it sort of just makes sense that this is the way the world is going to go, because if they're valuing all this complete and utter silly shit just because everything is speculatory and blah, 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 and you have people like why not value a useful thing which can be actually utilized with the person who's creating the token by buying their services? It seems like you're connecting this coincidence of needs and removing middlemen, and you already have everyone inventing their own token. Like, you've had that for 10 years, except they have to scam everyone by claiming to have created a replacement for Bitcoin or a replacement for Ethereum or whatever, replacement for anything else. If you could just literally create an incentive model, which is just paying people for their services, whether it's like a patron or a donor, or more of a development model, like the developer is using it, like, and then he could get paid to actually work on important stuff instead of developers throughout the last 10 years trying to like invent schemes to confuse people. Fucking Vitalik's, I don't mean to hate on Ethereum, it's not the point here. The point is, Vitalik's got his own coin, Charlie Lee's got his own coin, and those are like some of the more useful ones. Then there's like the Larimers of the world and whoever else that just go making these schemes to help like create these crazy schemes to confuse people and convince them it's the next thing. Like, what if there was a better way where it's like you're just going to get paid through your own token to work on Bitcoin or whatever it is, just more useful stuff? So that's kind of how the idea arises. And maybe it is just you're going to use Bitcoin for your Cloudtreon. I don't know, but we're going to explore it and we're going to see how it plays out. Now, we're going on for a bit. Should I touch on sub-sig pages? We'll just do a quick one. So, Jay was pointing out basically that these replies to replies and these thread channels, if you want to recreate, not even, like, space gets to be a problem, and so you basically could have these sub-sig pages. In other words, like, every TSN reference has its own signature page. You don't really need it. Like, a thread channel has its own page and a signature. The original reference has its own signature page. So those are the two main ones, and this state is continually updated between the two. And without considering space, it's fine. But if you want to do, like, keep a more organized track of which are, like, replies to reply, like, the signature page and the thread page should be the initial replies, the numerous initial replies to that individual content. When you get into replies to replies, they should sort of have their own sub pages. So that's why you need to really have a page for every reply. Every reply needs to have its own page to properly keep track and organize things, like Twitter does or anything else. Like, you could click on any reply or a reply to a reply to see the number of responses and see them displayed on that particular page. So that's kind of sub-sig pages. You're going to see all this stuff in code. Is going to be easier to understand, or just you're going to see it on our block publishing servers, and then you'll see what it means. Like, oh, it's just like using Twitter. Like, you click on a reply and there's a page for it. So that's it. Almost an hour now. I think we're going to wrap it up. Hope I didn't go too long, perhaps a bit. And we'll be back soon. Peace.